Gracious and loving God, by your Holy Spirit, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to thee, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's salvation has come to this house. So says Jesus, speaking about Zacchaeus, who, having climbed down out of his sycamore tree, must now prepare his house to receive Jesus, put away his dishonorable past, and enter into a new life. Today's salvation has come to this house, says Jesus, speaking to the people of St. Augustine's. Like Zacchaeus, we are invited to move out of whatever present life we may be enjoying or regretting, and to step into his new life. Zacchaeus, as all his neighbors are quick to point out, is unworthy of the new life that Jesus promises. And Jesus does not dispute the point. Zacchaeus is a well-known sinner, not just a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. Not only did he make money on the side collecting taxes for the Romans, he also took a cut from the other tax collectors who were working under him. Zacchaeus was rich by stealing from his kin. We can presume that his house was lavish, his clothes fine, his food was rich. And in proportion as his wealth was taken from the poor, so he was hated. Yet Jesus defends him. Jesus does this not disregarding the man's past, but by claiming for Zacchaeus a future that would put his past to rights, that will make him a new man. This man too, he says, is a son of Abraham. So it is that we, this morning as every morning, are offered the same bargain. No matter how honorable or dishonorable your past might be, you too are a child of Abraham, and you are offered a new life. Now, perhaps the phrase sounds curious to us today, the phrase, the child of Abraham. Certainly in the time of Jesus, the people would have understood this quite literally. Abraham was the patriarch, the great, 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 etc., etc., grandfather of all the Jewish people. It was Abraham's grandson, Jacob, who had 12 sons, from whom descended all the 12 tribes of Israel. So in the time of Jesus, everyone who was a Jewish could claim to be a child of Abraham, could claim a branch on that family tree. And yet even in that time, the phrase child of Abraham meant something more. Then as now, to be a child of Abraham meant to have the courage and the faith of Abraham. One who is willing to leave the past and enter into God's future. To understand this claim, it's helpful, I think, to look once more at that old story. It's way back in Genesis chapter 12, where we first meet Abraham. I think this is one of the great moments in all Scripture. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country, leave your people, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you." And so off they go with that brief promise ringing in their ears. Abram and Sarai, his wife, they forsake caution. They disregard human wisdom. And instead they embrace the adventure of trusting God. Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, the possessions and servants they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. And they arrived there. Now, the thing I love about this reading is, I mean, that's a journey of 1,000 miles. From Ur of the Chaldees was, you know, somewhere near Baghdad today, so they would have walked north and then west and then south. about 1,000 miles. It would have taken months, and we hear none of that. If I took such a journey, I mean, you'd hear about it endlessly. But what are we told? We're told, and they arrived there, which is the point of the story. We don't hear about where they left. We don't hear about the journey. We hear that they arrived where God led them. That's the whole point of the story. Abram and Sarai, being righteous, do not need to repudiate their past, but neither do they take much of it with them. They take only such things as will serve their future. They take their names, though these will be changed from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. They take some cattle, some possessions and servants, but they are traveling light. And I always think of them as a couple of crazy kids. They're going to elope. At the age of 75, they will wed themselves once more, not to each other, but to the promises of God. 75, off they go. So what does it mean for Zacchaeus to be such a child of Abraham? It means that he too accepts the great adventure to leave the past, to trust God, and to go wherever he will be led. So, of course, it is for all of us. If we want a future, we will leave the past, bearing only such things as will serve the journey. And this Zacchaeus does. It's clear that he wants a new start in life because he does this unaccountable thing. Zacchaeus, who was a short man, unable to see over the shoulders of his neighbors, decides, at whatever cost to his own dignity, that he will climb a tree, the better to see Jesus approaching his town. Climbing a tree, I don't know who in the congregation has lately climbed a tree? I'm looking, there we go, Daniel has climbed a tree. You're my hero, totally. This is how you get a good view on the world. It's a small thing, and yet it is also a momentous thing, at least for Zacchaeus. I imagine he's not too nimble. He is wealthy, well-dressed, and middle-aged, but up the tree he goes, the better to see his future as it approaches. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up. He said, "Zacchaeus, come down. I must stay at your house today." Now, Zacchaeus climbed a tree, the better to see Jesus. Jesus, with something greater than eyesight, sees into Zacchaeus. Certainly, Jesus would have met enough tax collectors to know what kind of life this man was living. Yet, Jesus chose just such a one, another tax collector, Levi, who would take the name Matthew, to be one of his 12 closest disciples. And he does it once more. Once again, Jesus sees through the layers of graft and of greed in which the tax collector is trapped. Jesus sees the child inside the greedy and corrupt man, even the child of Abraham. Jesus insists he will stay at his house. He will break bread with this man. He will allow Zacchaeus to wash his feet, as all good hosts would do. And so the two of them, Jesus, the Son of God, and Zacchaeus, the son of Abraham, will be brothers. Now, Zacchaeus knows at this moment what is required of him. A man cannot live in two places at once. Abraham must leave Ur of the Chaldees if he is to gain Canaan. A tax collector cannot love his neighbors while stealing money from them. Zacchaeus cannot remain suspended in his tree if he is to claim the ground Jesus offers. And so down he climbs. And when he gets down, he stands as tall as his limited height will allow. He says, "Look, Lord." He's speaking to Jesus, but he's speaking also to everyone standing around. He promises, "I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Well, you can be sure that his fellow citizens would remember these words, would hold him to account. With this offer, so costly, yet so enriching, the child of Abraham claims his promised land. He loses his past. He claims his future. He will be poor and he will be so rich. And so it is that the first words Jesus speaks, "Zacchaeus, I must stay at your house tonight," becomes, "Today salvation has come to this house." Meanwhile, the people standing around Zacchaeus are angry. They would have justice demanded of this tax collector and not mercy. And then turning to Jesus, they express their anger at him. "This man has gone to be the guest of a sinner." And it's true, of course, Jesus does. Then, as now, Jesus is the guest of sinners. And in a way, this is the great scandal of the gospel. The word scandal, it's an interesting word. It comes from the Greek, skandalon, and it means a stumbling block. If you're walking across a field and you trip over something, that's a scandalon. This is the scandal of the gospel, that Jesus will offer mercy before he requires judgment. And you know, sometimes we don't like it. Jesus welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Once at the table, of course, we are instructed to wash our hands and to serve, even as we shall be served. But the invitation is always given before the rules are required. And no guest who diligently works to learn and to follow the rules of the house will ever be turned away. Or to put it another way, and I guess a favorite metaphor of mine, a pilgrimage is always defined by its destination and not by its beginning. A pilgrim can begin the journey only from the place he stands. It might be holy ground that leads the pilgrim from one kind of obedience to another. It might be unholy ground, moral quicksand, which it is best to flee quickly. But always, a pilgrimage is defined by its destination. It doesn't really matter where it begins. We have to begin where we are. We might begin the journey balancing precariously on a branch high up in a sycamore tree. It doesn't matter. It matters only that we do begin and journey where Jesus leads us. This, of course, is the familiar point in the sermon where you have to begin preaching to yourself because you are Zacchaeus, you are Abraham, you are Sarah, as am I. And like Abraham and Sarah and Zacchaeus and like myself, you are in a place and you are called now to journey to another place. Abraham was 75 years old. Age is no excuse. Indeed, you could remain where you are, seated perfectly still, and you know time is happening, and so the journey continues. The passing of time makes pilgrims of us all. So where are we headed? That's your homework and mine. But know this, that today salvation has come to this house, to this St. Augustine's Church, to this congregation. Jesus would dine with us. We have an altar already for that meal. He would dine with us. He would ask us to dine with him and with each other, and then to journey with him into whatever future he wants for us. Amen.